Introduction to Acquisition and Interpretation. The acquisition and interpretation of electroencephalographic, EEG, data require a comprehensive understanding of neurophysiological, technical, and procedural foundations. EEG signal acquisition begins with precise electrode placement guided by standardized systems such as the International 10-20 system and the expanded 10-10 modified combinatorial nomenclature system. These frameworks ensure that electrodes are consistently and accurately positioned in relation to anatomical landmarks, enabling reproducible assessments across both clinical and research settings. Alongside this spatial configuration, the selection and arrangement of electrode montages, whether referential or bipolar, significantly influence the resulting signal quality and interpretability. Clinicians routinely rely on software-based montage reformats to optimize data presentation and isolate clinically relevant activity patterns. These configurations not only facilitate real-time monitoring, but also support post-hoc analyses of functional connectivity and topographical patterns. Understanding EEG signal acquisition also involves a detailed grasp of artifact identification and correction. Artifacts can arise from physiological sources such as muscle activity, eye movements, cardiac signals, or sweat, as well as from exogenous sources like power line interference or electrode instability. Their presence can distort or obscure neural signals, resulting in inaccurate interpretations. Therefore, clinicians must employ rigorous quality control measures, including impedance testing, visual inspection of the raw signal, and targeted artifact removal procedures. Furthermore, they must interpret EEG recordings within the context of individual subject variables, including age, arousal level, pharmacological status, and diurnal rhythm. These contextual influences can modulate EEG frequency bands such as alpha, theta, and beta, and must be considered when establishing normative baselines or evaluating deviations. This unit is structured to align with BCIA blueprint guidelines for instrumentation and electronics, emphasizing not only technical competence in signal acquisition, but also the interpretive skills necessary for distinguishing normal from abnormal EEG features. It reviews the comparative utility of structural and functional neuroimaging modalities, such as CT, MRI, EEG, MEG, fMRI, PET, and SPECT, highlighting the advantages of EEG in temporal resolution while acknowledging its spatial limitations. Additionally, the text addresses the clinical implications of using limited versus high-density electrode arrays and provides instructions on interpreting EEG montages for both neurofeedback and diagnostic purposes. Lastly, the discussion highlights the importance of recognizing and interpreting normative EEG patterns across developmental stages, with a particular emphasis on the posterior dominant rhythm and the effects of eyes open and eyes closed conditions. Together, these elements form an integrated foundation for competent EEG practice in both clinical and research contexts. Signal acquisition. Signal acquisition in EEG is the foundational process through which the brain's electrical activity is captured and digitized for analysis. This process begins with the accurate placement of electrodes using either the International 10-20 system or the modified combinatorial 10-10 system, ensuring consistent spatial coverage of the scalp. Clinicians monitor brain activity by measuring the amplitude of oscillations within standard frequency bands, such as delta, theta, alpha, beta, and gamma, across multiple cortical regions. Signal acquisition also requires attention to electrode skin impedance, typically maintained below 5 kiloohms, to optimize signal-to-noise ratios. Modern acquisition systems digitize these microvolt-level signals at high sampling rates to preserve temporal resolution and minimize aliasing. Software-based montage reformatting allows clinicians to reinterpret session data by changing reference points or electrode combinations without requiring re-recording. This capacity is critical for isolating specific cortical sources, improving artifact rejection, or aligning with quantitative EEG, QEG, requirements, and neurofeedback protocols. Full-cap 21-channel EEG configurations, which include 19 active electrodes and 2 reference electrodes, offer high spatial resolution necessary for the analysis of complex neurological cases such as traumatic brain injury or neurodevelopmental disorders. The resulting data can be visualized through EEG topography, which maps amplitude distributions across the scalp surface, aiding in the localization of abnormalities. Artifact contamination remains a central concern in signal acquisition. Physiological artifacts such as muscle tension, eye movements, and cardiac signals, along with exogenous factors like environmental electrical noise, can obscure or distort EEG data. To mitigate these effects, clinicians must perform real-time monitoring, conduct impedance checks before and during recording, and apply artifact rejection protocols. The analysis often integrates behavioral observations and session notes to support artifact identification. Ultimately, the accurate acquisition of EEG signals depends on the synergy between precise electrode placement, optimized recording hardware, and vigilant artifact management, all necessary for producing clinically actionable data. BCIA blueprint coverage. This section aligns directly with the Biofeedback Certification International Alliance, BCA, blueprint, specifically Section 3, which addresses instrumentation and electronics, with an emphasis on signal acquisition. It outlines the technical standards and clinical practices necessary for obtaining reliable and interpretable EEG recordings. Practitioners are expected to demonstrate proficiency in using both the International 1020 and the modified 1010 electrode placement systems, which form the structural basis for accurate signal acquisition and comparison across sessions and patients. These systems facilitate uniformity in data collection and interpretation and support effective electrode placement for diagnostic and therapeutic purposes. The BCIA blueprint coverage includes a detailed understanding of neuroimaging technique comparisons, including distinctions between structural methods like MRI and CT and functional methods such as EEG, MEG, fMRI, PET, and SPECT. Practitioners must comprehend how each imaging modality differs in terms of spatial and temporal resolution, invasiveness, and clinical application. EEG, with its superior temporal resolution, is uniquely suited to detecting rapid shifts in neural activity and is emphasized in training due to its central role in neurofeedback and psychophysiological assessments. Understanding these comparisons allows clinicians to communicate effectively with interdisciplinary teams and contextualize EEG data within broader diagnostic frameworks. The blueprint also includes competencies related to the use of a limited number of electrodes and montage options, recognizing the impact of electrode count and montage configuration on data quality and interpretability. Clinicians must be able to recognize and correct signals of non-cerebral origin, including physiological and exogenous artifacts, as well as identify normal EEG patterns and distinguish them from pathological activity. Mastery of these competencies ensures that certified professionals can perform high-quality EEG assessments, contribute to comprehensive treatment planning, and maintain clinical validity. By integrating technical skills with interpretive insight, the BCIA blueprint reinforces a rigorous standard of professional practice in the field of EEG and biofeedback. International 1020 and 1010 systems. The International 1020 system is a globally accepted method for the standardized placement of EEG electrodes. It is based on the relative distances between four primary anatomical landmarks: the nasion, enion, and the left and right preauricular points. Electrodes are spaced at 10% or 20% intervals along these dimensions, ensuring uniform coverage of the scalp. This methodology supports consistent data acquisition across individuals and sessions, critical for longitudinal monitoring and cross-subject comparisons. The electrode labels correspond to specific cortical regions, such as F for frontal, C for central, P for parietal, O for occipital, and T for temporal, with numerical subscripts indicating laterality and distance from the midline. Midline electrodes are designated with AZ, for example, CZ, and lateral placements are numbered odd on the left hemisphere and even on the right. Reference electrodes are typically placed on the earlobes or mastoids and serve as electrical baselines against which the active electrode signals are compared. Each electrode measures the summed electrical potential of a surrounding area approximately the size of a quarter, though volume conduction and anatomical pathways may cause signals to reflect activity from distant sources. Despite these limitations, the 1020 system provides a robust and repeatable framework for clinical and research EEG applications. To enhance spatial resolution, especially for advanced applications such as source localization or high-density QEG. The modified combinatorial nomenclature, also known as the 1010 system, adds intermediate electrode positions between those used in the 1020 system. This expanded array includes up to 75 electrode sites and uses an alphanumeric labeling system that denotes both anatomical orientation and precise location. The 1010 system allows for more detailed mapping of cortical activity, improved detection of focal abnormalities such as epileptiform discharges, and finer spatial resolution for evoked potentials. It also standardizes the placement of intermediate sites, such as AF, anterior frontal, FT, frontotemporal, and CP, centroparietal, enhancing the clinical utility of EEG in both diagnostic and interventional settings. Modified combinatorial nomenclature. The modified combinatorial nomenclature system, commonly referred to as the 10-10 system, is an enhancement of the original International 1020 system. This modification introduces additional electrode sites that are positioned at 10% intervals along the cranial surface, effectively doubling the spatial resolution of the standard system. By doing so, it allows for a more granular capture of cortical electrical activity, improving the capacity to localize functional abnormalities and refine source estimation techniques. These additional electrode sites fill the gaps between the conventional positions, yielding a total of up to 75 distinct locations that are systematically and anatomically organized. Each electrode in the 1010 system is labeled with an alphanumeric code that reflects both the underlying cortical region and its relative position. These include extensions such as AF, anterior frontal, FT, frontotemporal, FC, frontocentral, TP, temporal parietal, and PO, parieto-occipital, which were not defined in the traditional 1020 system. This nomenclature allows for the precise identification and communication of electrode positions across clinical and research settings. Furthermore, the revised system replaces inconsistent or outdated labels, such as T3-T4 and T5-T6, with standardized alternatives like T7-T8 and P7-P8. Thereby improving consistency in electrode naming conventions. The adoption of the modified combinatorial nomenclature system significantly benefits clinical neurophysiology and neurofeedback applications. The increased density of electrode sites enhances the detection of localized phenomena, such as epileptiform discharges and region-specific cortical slowing, which might be missed with a sparser configuration. Additionally, this system facilitates high-resolution EEG mapping necessary for advanced analyses, such as cortical current density reconstruction, coherence mapping, and evoked potential localization. Its precision and comprehensiveness make it a preferred framework in complex diagnostic evaluations, research studies, and sophisticated neurofeedback interventions. Comparison of neuroimaging techniques. The comparison of neuroimaging techniques underscores the diverse methodologies available for assessing brain structure and function, each with distinct advantages and limitations. Structural imaging methods, such as computed tomography, CT, and magnetic resonance imaging, MRI, are designed to visualize the anatomical features of the brain, identifying lesions, tumors, and structural abnormalities with high spatial resolution. In contrast, functional imaging methods, including EEG, MEG, fMRI, PET, and SPECT, focus on capturing dynamic changes in brain activity. These techniques differ significantly in their underlying biophysical mechanisms, spatial and temporal resolution, and invasiveness, influencing their clinical and research applicability. EEG and MEG provide superior temporal resolution, detecting electrical or magnetic fields generated by neuronal activity within milliseconds. These techniques are well suited for capturing rapid neurophysiological processes, such as seizure onset or cognitive task performance. However, they have relatively poor spatial resolution due to signal diffusion through the skull and scalp. Functional MRI offers excellent spatial resolution, revealing blood oxygenation level dependent, bold, signals associated with regional brain activation, albeit with temporal delays of several seconds. PET and SPECT, which measure cerebral glucose metabolism and blood flow using radio-labeled tracers, provide functional data with even lower temporal resolution but can be valuable in identifying diffuse metabolic dysfunctions and receptor-specific binding profiles. The choice of imaging modality depends on the clinical question, patient condition, and resources available. EEG remains the modality of choice for real-time monitoring of brain function, especially in conditions requiring rapid assessment, such as epilepsy or sleep disorders. MEG, though less widely available, offers complementary information with better source localization. MRI and CT are indispensable for structural assessments, while PET and SPECT are often reserved for cases requiring metabolic or neurochemical insights. Understanding the comparative strengths of these techniques enables clinicians to integrate findings across modalities, resulting in more comprehensive diagnostic and treatment strategies. Structural techniques. Structural neuroimaging techniques provide detailed anatomical maps of the brain, enabling clinicians to visualize lesions, malformations, and other structural abnormalities. These techniques are fundamental for identifying focal damage associated with trauma, stroke, tumors, or degenerative diseases. The primary structural imaging modalities include computed tomography, CT, and magnetic resonance imaging, MRI, each with unique principles of operation and diagnostic utility. CT scans use ionizing radiation to construct cross-sectional images, while MRI employs magnetic fields and radiofrequency pulses to generate high-resolution images of soft tissue. Computerized axial tomography. Computerized axial tomography, CT, is one of the most widely utilized structural neuroimaging techniques in clinical practice due to its accessibility, speed, and effectiveness in detecting acute neurological conditions. The CT scanner operates by projecting X-rays in a rotating arc around the head and measuring the varying absorption levels of brain tissue. The resulting data are mathematically reconstructed into cross-sectional images that reveal structural features of the brain, including bone, hemorrhages, and calcified lesions. This capability makes CT especially useful in emergency settings where rapid diagnosis is crucial, such as in cases of stroke, head trauma, or suspected intracranial hemorrhage. CT imaging is often the first-line neuroimaging tool because of its relatively low cost and fast acquisition time, typically under 5 minutes. The contrast resolution of CT is adequate for detecting major pathologies, although it lacks the fine discrimination between soft tissues that MRI provides. Modern CT systems allow for three-dimensional reconstructions and angiographic studies, further enhancing their diagnostic utility. The administration of iodinated contrast agents can increase visualization of vascular structures and blood-brain barrier integrity, but carries a risk of allergic reaction or nephrotoxicity, particularly in patients with renal impairment. Despite its advantages, CT is limited by exposure to ionizing radiation, which is a concern for repeated imaging and for vulnerable populations such as children and pregnant women. Furthermore, it provides limited detail of brain parenchyma and may miss subtle lesions, particularly in white matter or brainstem regions. As a result, CT is often used in combination with other modalities, such as MRI, to provide a more comprehensive evaluation. Nonetheless, its speed and efficiency make it indispensable for initial assessment and triage in acute neurologic care. Magnetic resonance imaging, MRI. Magnetic resonance imaging, MRI, is a high-resolution neuroimaging technique that uses strong magnetic fields and radio frequency pulses to produce detailed images of brain anatomy. Unlike CT, which uses ionizing radiation, MRI exploits the magnetic properties of hydrogen nuclei within water molecules in brain tissue. When exposed to a powerful magnetic field and specific radio pulses, these nuclei emit signals that are captured and translated into precise images of the brain's internal structures. This makes MRI particularly effective for visualizing soft tissue contrast, including distinctions between gray and white matter. One of the principal advantages of MRI is its superior spatial resolution, which allows for the detection of subtle pathological changes that may not be visible on CT scans. Conditions such as multiple sclerosis, low-grade tumors, cortical dysplasia, and hippocampal sclerosis are often best visualized using MRI. Additionally, advanced MRI techniques like diffusion-weighted imaging, DWI, and diffusion tensor imaging, DTI, provide insights into white matter integrity and fiber tract connectivity, offering valuable information for both clinical diagnosis and research applications. MRI can also be adapted for vascular studies through magnetic resonance angiography, MRA, enhancing its versatility. While MRI offers substantial benefits, it also comes with limitations. The procedure is time-consuming, often requiring 30 minutes or more, and may be uncomfortable for patients due to noise and confined space. MRI is contraindicated in individuals with certain metallic implants or pacemakers, and its high cost may limit accessibility in some settings. Despite these considerations, MRI remains the gold standard for structural neuroimaging in non-emergent evaluations, providing essential anatomical context for functional studies and guiding clinical interventions with unmatched precision. Functional techniques. Functional neuroimaging techniques focus on assessing dynamic brain activity by measuring physiological signals that correlate with neural function. These methods differ from structural techniques in that they capture how the brain operates in real time or in response to specific stimuli. Among the primary functional modalities are electroencephalography, EEG, quantitative EEG, QEG, magnetoencephalography, MEG, functional magnetic resonance imaging, fMRI, positron emission tomography, PET, and single photon emission computerized tomography, SPECT. Each method provides unique insights into brain function, offering different balances between spatial and temporal resolution. EEG and QEG are non-invasive techniques that measure electrical activity generated by neuronal populations. Standard EEG displays time-domain waveforms from specific scalp locations, while QEG adds statistical analysis and topographic mapping of spectral components such as delta, theta, alpha, beta, and gamma activity. These tools are ideal for capturing millisecond-level changes in brain function, making them especially valuable for applications like seizure localization, sleep research, and cognitive state monitoring. Additionally, advanced QEG methods, including Loretta, allow for three-dimensional source estimation, enhancing spatial interpretation of scalp-recorded signals. Other functional modalities complement the strengths of EEG. MEG detects the magnetic fields associated with neural activity using superconducting quantum interference devices, SQUIDs, offering better spatial localization than EEG, but at significantly higher cost and complexity. fMRI tracks changes in blood oxygenation related to neural activity with excellent spatial precision but relatively poor temporal resolution, with signal lags on the order of seconds. PET and SPECT provide metabolic and perfusion imaging through radiotracer uptake, but are limited by low temporal and moderate spatial resolution. Together, these functional imaging techniques provide critical insights into brain activity patterns underlying health and disease and are often selected based on the clinical or research context. EEG. Electroencephalography, EEG, is a cornerstone of functional brain imaging that captures the electrical activity of the cerebral cortex via electrodes placed on the scalp. These electrodes detect voltage fluctuations resulting from ionic current flows within neurons, particularly from pyramidal cells in the cortical layers. The EEG signal reflects summated postsynaptic potentials rather than action potentials and is recorded as continuous waveforms in various frequency bands, including delta, 0.5 to 4 Hz, theta, 4 to 8 Hz, alpha, 8 to 12 Hz, beta, 12 to 30 Hz, and gamma, 30 to 100 Hz. The data are typically presented in both raw waveform format and as spectral plots, enabling time and frequency domain analyses. The primary clinical advantage of EEG lies in its exceptional temporal resolution, which captures changes in neural activity on the order of milliseconds. This makes it highly effective in detecting transient events such as epileptiform discharges, transient ischemic attacks, and cognitive event-related potentials. In neurofeedback and psychophysiological research, EEG is employed to monitor states of relaxation, focus, or arousal by analyzing patterns of rhythmic activity across cortical regions. Commonly observed phenomena include posterior alpha enhancement during eyes-closed rest and beta activity associated with active cognitive engagement. Modern EEG applications extend beyond traditional clinical settings. Quantitative EEG, QEG, utilizes mathematical algorithms to derive metrics such as power spectra, coherence, phase lag, and source localization. These metrics can be displayed as color-coded topographic maps or integrated into normative databases for comparative analysis. High-density EEG systems, often with 64 or more channels, provide finer spatial granularity and are used in advanced research protocols and cognitive neuroscience. Despite its spatial resolution limitations and vulnerability to artifacts, EEG remains indispensable for clinical diagnostics and brain-computer interface technologies due to its non-invasive nature, low cost, and portability. Magnetoencephalography. Magnetoencephalography, MEG, is a non-invasive functional imaging technique that measures the magnetic fields generated by neuronal activity in the brain. Unlike EEG, which records electrical potentials on the scalp, MEG detects the magnetic flux associated with intracellular currents in pyramidal neurons, particularly in the sulci of the cortex, where magnetic field orientation is most favorable. These minute magnetic fields are measured using highly sensitive devices known as superconducting quantum interference devices, SQIDs, which are housed in magnetically shielded rooms to minimize environmental interference. MEG provides millisecond-level temporal resolution similar to EEG, but surpasses it in spatial localization accuracy, particularly when used in conjunction with structural MRI for co-registration. This integration allows for precise mapping of functional activity onto anatomical structures. MEG is especially effective in localizing epileptogenic zones, guiding surgical planning for epilepsy treatment, and investigating rapid cortical processing in sensory, language, and cognitive tasks. Because MEG does not suffer from the spatial smearing effects of skull and scalp conductivity, it provides a more direct and localized measurement of cortical sources. Despite its strengths, MEG is not as widely available as EEG due to its high cost, technical complexity, and the need for cryogenic maintenance of SQID sensors. The equipment is bulky and stationary, limiting its use to specialized research hospitals or academic centers. However, its superior spatial resolution and high temporal fidelity make it a valuable complement to EEG in both research and clinical contexts, particularly when fine-grained spatial mapping of brain function is necessary. As technology advances, efforts to reduce MEG system size and cost may increase its accessibility and clinical utility. Functional magnetic resonance imaging, fMRI. Functional magnetic resonance imaging, fMRI, is a non-invasive technique that measures brain activity by detecting changes in blood oxygenation levels associated with neural activation. fMRI is based on the blood oxygen level dependent, BOLD, contrast, which reflects the differential magnetic properties of oxygenated and deoxygenated hemoglobin. When a brain region becomes more active, local blood flow increases, altering the relative concentration of deoxygenated hemoglobin and enhancing the fMRI signal. This method enables researchers and clinicians to map functional brain regions with high spatial resolution, often down to a few millimeters. One of the major advantages of fMRI is its ability to identify brain regions involved in specific cognitive, sensory, or motor tasks. This capability supports both basic neuroscience research and clinical applications, such as pre-surgical mapping for epilepsy and tumor resection. fMRI data are typically acquired while participants perform tasks or during rest, resting state fMRI, allowing for the examination of both task-evoked and intrinsic functional connectivity networks. The spatial resolution of fMRI is superior to that of EEG or MEG, but its temporal resolution is constrained by the delay of the hemodynamic response, typically on the order of seconds. Despite its strengths, fMRI has several limitations. It is sensitive to motion artifacts, requires subjects to remain still in a confined environment, and cannot be used in individuals with metal implants or severe claustrophobia. The indirect nature of the BOLD signal, representing vascular rather than neuronal activity, also complicates interpretation. Furthermore, the high cost and infrastructure requirements limit its widespread use outside of large academic or clinical centers. Nevertheless, fMRI remains a powerful tool for exploring brain function and has become a cornerstone of modern cognitive neuroscience and translational research. Positron emission tomography. Positron emission tomography, PET, is a functional neuroimaging technique that provides metabolic information about the brain by detecting gamma rays emitted by radio-labeled tracers. These tracers are biologically active molecules, most commonly fluorodeoxyglucose, which is taken up by metabolically active brain tissue. After intravenous injection, the tracer distributes through the bloodstream and accumulates in regions of high synaptic activity, allowing clinicians to visualize regional brain metabolism. PET scans offer moderate spatial resolution and poor temporal resolution, with signal acquisition occurring over several minutes. The technique is particularly useful in detecting regions of hypometabolism in conditions such as Alzheimer's disease, epilepsy, and various forms of dementia. PET can also be used to study neurotransmitter systems by labeling specific ligands that bind to dopamine, serotonin, or other receptor subtypes. This makes PET valuable not only for diagnostics, but also for research into psychiatric and neurodegenerative disorders. Despite its diagnostic utility, PET is limited by its invasiveness, radiation exposure, and high cost. The use of radioactive tracers requires specialized facilities and adherence to strict safety protocols. Moreover, the metabolic data provided by PET must be interpreted in conjunction with anatomical imaging, typically obtained from MRI or CT, to provide accurate localization. While less frequently used than fMRI or EEG, PET remains an important tool in both clinical and research settings for investigating brain function, particularly in cases where metabolic or receptor-level information is required. Single photon emission computerized tomography. Single photon emission computerized tomography, SPECT, is a nuclear imaging technique that provides three-dimensional representations of cerebral blood flow by detecting gamma rays emitted from injected radiopharmaceuticals. These radio tracers, such as technetium-99m, are absorbed by brain tissue proportionally to its perfusion. SPECT measures regional cerebral blood flow, which serves as a proxy for neuronal activity, with data typically averaged over several minutes. This makes SPECT particularly useful for identifying regions of hypoperfusion in disorders such as stroke, dementia, traumatic brain injury, and epilepsy. Compared to PET, SPECT has lower spatial resolution and similar limitations in temporal resolution. However, it is more accessible and cost-effective, requiring less complex equipment and radiopharmaceutical production. SPECT can be conducted in a wider variety of clinical settings and has the advantage of being usable even in smaller healthcare facilities without on-site cyclotrons. When combined with structural imaging data, SPECT enhances the clinician's ability to correlate functional impairments with anatomical lesions. While its radiation dose is generally lower than PET, SPECT still involves exposure to ionizing radiation and carries associated risks. Moreover, the extended acquisition time makes it less suitable for examining rapidly changing brain functions or dynamic cognitive tasks. Despite these constraints, SPECT remains valuable for clinical applications that prioritize long-term perfusion patterns over moment-to-moment neural activity. Its utility in diagnosing perfusion abnormalities and monitoring the effects of pharmacological interventions or rehabilitation strategies continues to support its integration into neurological and psychiatric practice. Using a limited number of electrodes. Using a limited number of electrodes in EEG acquisition is a pragmatic approach that balances practicality with diagnostic yield. While high-density montages provide superior spatial resolution and network-level insights, they may not always be feasible in clinical practice due to time constraints, patient tolerance, or equipment availability. Many clinicians use single or dual-channel recordings for targeted neurofeedback or to monitor specific brain regions associated with a client's symptom profile. This is particularly common in introductory settings, pediatric assessments, or quick screening protocols. Nonetheless, empirical studies indicate that multi-channel EEG, especially the standard 19-channel configuration based on the 1020 system, yields more comprehensive and accurate assessments. It allows clinicians to perform topographic analyses and evaluate coherence, phase, and connectivity metrics across cortical regions. This approach is indispensable for detecting complex abnormalities such as focal slowing, hemispheric asymmetries, or patterns associated with neurodevelopmental conditions like autism spectrum disorder or acquired injuries such as traumatic brain injury. Although limited channel recordings can be effective for specific applications, They restrict the clinician's ability to conduct thorough spatial analyses or detect subtle network dysfunctions. They are also less capable of supporting advanced quantitative EEG analyses and topographic mapping. As a result, best practices recommend using as many electrodes as feasible within the clinical context, especially for diagnostic evaluations or complex case presentations. Even when using fewer electrodes, understanding the limitations and optimizing electrode placement enhances the interpretive value of the data collected. Montage options and their consequences. EEG montage is the method by which signals from various electrode pairs are combined or contrasted to create specific views of cortical activity. The choice of montage has significant implications for interpreting EEG data, as it determines the spatial relationships among signals and influences the detection of abnormal patterns. Common montage types include referential, monopolar, bipolar, sequential, and average reference configurations. Each provides a different perspective on brain function, and their utility depends on the clinical question and the specific neural dynamics under examination. Referential montages compare activity at each active electrode site to a common reference electrode, often located on the earlobe or mastoid. This configuration is sensitive to generalized voltage changes and is commonly used in routine EEG recordings. It provides clear identification of focal abnormalities, such as epileptiform discharges, but may introduce reference contamination if the chosen reference site is not electrically neutral. Bipolar montages, in contrast, measure the voltage difference between two active electrode sites arranged in a chain across the scalp. This setup enhances the localization of phase reversals and is less susceptible to common mode noise, making it useful for detecting spatially restricted abnormalities. The consequences of montage choice extend to neurofeedback and QEG applications. For instance, changes in montage configuration can alter coherence and phase relationships, affecting the interpretation of functional connectivity. Modern amplifiers allow for digital re-referencing, enabling clinicians to examine data through multiple montage schemes after acquisition. This flexibility supports differential diagnosis and protocol customization. However, the clinician must understand the assumptions and limitations inherent in each montage type to avoid misinterpretation. The optimal montage strategy balances signal clarity, artifact rejection, and the clinical goals of the assessment or intervention. Referential monopolar montage. A referential montage is one of the most widely used EEG configurations and involves comparing the potential at a given electrode site to a relatively inactive reference, typically placed on the mastoid, earlobe, or midline scalp location. This approach assumes that the reference electrode does not generate or reflect significant brain activity and serves as a stable baseline. The differential amplifier subtracts the reference voltage from the active site, resulting in a clear representation of localized cortical activity. This montage is especially effective in identifying focal abnormalities and is a standard choice in clinical EEG evaluations. Despite its clinical popularity, the referential montage has limitations. If the reference electrode is not electrically silent, its signal can be inadvertently added to that of the active electrode, a phenomenon known as reference contamination. This issue can be particularly problematic when using ear or mastoid references near strong cortical generators, such as posterior alpha rhythms. Reference contamination may produce artificially inflated coherence values or obscure lateralized abnormalities. To address this, clinicians may use linked ears, nose, or digitally derived references, each with its own set of trade-offs. The referential montage is well-suited to topographic mapping and spectral analysis in QEG. Its ability to detect widespread changes in amplitude and frequency across the cortex makes it valuable for neurofeedback protocol development and outcome monitoring. However, clinicians must exercise caution in interpreting data derived from non-neutral references. Understanding the anatomical and electrical implications of the chosen reference site is essential for accurate data interpretation, particularly when integrating findings with normative databases or guiding targeted interventions. Sequential bipolar montage. A sequential or bipolar montage records the voltage difference between two adjacent active electrode sites across the scalp. Unlike referential montages, which rely on a neutral baseline, bipolar configurations treat both electrodes as active, allowing for the detection of localized voltage gradients. This arrangement is particularly valuable for identifying phase reversals, which occur at the site of maximal voltage change and can pinpoint the focus of abnormal brain activity. Sequential montages are commonly used in epilepsy evaluations, where accurate localization of seizure foci is critical. In a standard longitudinal bipolar montage, electrodes are linked in a linear chain along the anterior-posterior axis of each hemisphere. This configuration enhances spatial localization and minimizes the impact of widespread noise or artifacts, such as electrical interference from muscle or environmental sources. Because the montage compares signals from nearby cortical regions, it emphasizes regional differences while suppressing common mode signals that are present on both sites. This makes bipolar montages particularly resistant to contamination and effective in identifying subtle, regionally confined abnormalities. Despite its advantages, the bipolar montage presents interpretive challenges. Because the recorded signal represents the difference between two sites, it may obscure widespread or symmetrical activity, making it difficult to assess absolute amplitude. Additionally, changes in EEG patterns during neurofeedback may be difficult to attribute to one site or the other, limiting the specificity of training effects. Nonetheless, bipolar montages remain a valuable tool in clinical and research applications, particularly where high spatial discrimination and artifact suppression are priorities. Clinicians should consider the advantages and limitations of this approach in relation to their assessment goals and patient characteristics.